Rob, welcome to Humboldt, and more specifically towards Lanigan, where you'll be speaking. Rob, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got into working with youth and mental health.
Yeah, well, I'm known as kind of a musician, but most people, when they say they're a musician, that's what they want to be since they were five. But music was actually my worst mark in school. I tried out for the school choir. I didn't make that, but I find that most people know what they do. Very few know why they do it, but I chose music more from the perspective of why, and something that sound familiar to your community. But when I was 17, I was in a car accident, hit by a semi-truck, and found with no pulse, not breathing. And as you can hear from my voice, I was resuscitated, and but I woke up from a coma not knowing who I was or my parents. And I went from a 6'5" athlete to a guy getting bathed by his mom. And I went through a really, really dark time after that and didn't want to be alive and had a lot of dark thoughts. No one knew, none of my family, none of my friends knew. And yeah, I went through this really bitterness, and I'm trying to figure, everybody feeds you all the cliches, like everything happens for a reason. And then they say that with good intentions, but then I lay there in recovery trying to figure out the reason I was hit by a semi, you know, and the reason you go through these things. And then one day, yeah, I was done dealing with that bitterness, that anger, and I was like, you know what, I got to deal with these dark thoughts I've got, and maybe there's other people like me that are having those same dark thoughts, and maybe I should tell my story. So I started a band, and yeah, we did our first album, and we're like, we're going to inspire the world, and we did our first show, and there was four people there, and I was like, where's the crowd? But we got, now I look back at that first album, and I'm glad there was only four people there. We weren't very good, but we got better. We got a record deal. We've had four top 10 hits on the radio in Canada. And then one day I got offered almost like a Johnny Cash tour, just me and my guitar going into classrooms, prison cells, reserves, telling my story. And I actually ripped up my record deal, my publishing deal, my management deal. And I went on what was supposed to be a 9-month tour, going and telling my story with me and a guitar. And that was in 2009. And now we've been doing this from coast to coast to coast in Canada all this time.
That is absolutely amazing. And, you know, there's your own personal experience that's a driving force behind this. But you also, I hope, get a chance to see the impact that you have on kids from time to time.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't really talk about, you know, my whole message was like, hey, make every day count. Like, this happened to me, and you never know what could happen tomorrow. I never really talked about the darkness of my mental health, because I was like, what would everybody think of me? What would the students think of me and the teachers? But one day we were called to a school in Ontario, and they said, hey, can you come right away? We heard you're really effective, and we just lost a girl, took her life, and would you come right away? Because we found out, the teacher said, that on this girl's note, it revealed that she had a pact with one of her friends. They had a deal, like, if you take your life, I'll take mine. And the principal said, we don't know who it is. Can you come right away? So, like, what do you say in a moment like that? Oh, mm-hmm. Our flights are this, our hotels, we just, like, we'll go. And it was an odd feeling. There's 1,000 students sitting in front of me, and I knew in my heart I had to say it for the first time, that I was there once myself, that I didn't want to be alive. And whew, I was bracing for it, man. I was like, I had to say it, but I was like, oh, look, I know someone in this room is thinking about taking their life. I'm like, you're not alone. I was there once too. And it was like this weight came off of me. And after the show, like, man, the conversations, like the vulnerability felt so good. And it wasn't just people asking for autographs and selfies, but people would, like, hugs and stories were being shared. And all of a sudden, this girl walked up with a note, and she hands it to me. I said, what's this? And she goes, it's my suicide note. I was going to take my life this weekend. She goes, here, I don't need this anymore. And the counselor was standing up with me, and they walked off together to get the help that she needed. And I was like, what just happened? Like, we found her, but when did she write this note? Like, that wasn't freshly written. So I talked with some police that do a lot of work with teen suicide prevention. And they said, yeah, really rarely when we come on the scene is the note freshly written. People carry that note with them, usually a few months before. So the next day were another 1,000 students. And I was like, maybe I should say it again. I said, I know someone in this room is thinking about taking their life. I'm like, you're not alone. I was there once too. And a young man came and handed me his note. And that was the beginning of over 900 notes that we've been handed. Not including all the ones that people get home and I didn't have my note with me, and they make a video on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok of ripping it up, razor blades at every show. And we've seen a lot of people having massive breakthroughs. And now when we do our shows, like, we couldn't reach the demand anymore. So now when we do our shows, we'll set up, like, in Regina at the, you know, we're we'll be at the Conexus Center for a few days, and we'll bring in all the schools, and I'll tell my story and play a song, and then I'll tell us, hey, I met this girl in lockdown, like, because we do prison shows. I tell her story, and she comes up and performs with us. And I tell the story about this kid, the indigenous kid from northern Saskatchewan, Wollaston. Mm-hmm. This kid, he didn't just have a suicide note, he had a book, 100 pages, things that he hated about himself. And he goes, I don't need this anymore. And I said, find a way to channel your emotions. And he goes, I said, like, do you like to paint? Do you like to dance? Like, do you like to sing? He goes, I love music. I said, if you could play anything, what would you play? He goes, guitar. I said, then play guitar. And he shows me, he was born with just an elbow and five fingers.
Okay.
I said, no excuses, brother, play. And he, 2 years later, he sends a video to our website. He goes, thanks for pushing me. This guy plays guitar better than me with five fingers and an elbow. So I tell his story, and he comes out, and he performs with us as well, and the kids just light up. And we just like showing people. Like, we can learn from tragedy, for sure, but we need to balance the stories and show that not every story of addiction ends in an overdose. Not every story of mental health ends in a death. And that's what we do on our tour. And, we're planning to do more stuff in Saskatchewan, and we're excited to keep growing our tour and reach more people.
That's incredible. You've got more than an entourage. You've got a connection of spiritual compatriots that have joined you in this through this process. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So when you are with a group of students, right, and you don't have the full band with you in the compliment, is that the main message that you send out there, is I know that there's somebody out there? Do they respond that way? Or what are sort of the key triggers that I guess you give to the students, right, to sort of elicit a response that's going to help them to reach that stage?
Yeah, well, it's like, it's rare that people are willing to be vulnerable, right? Like, I don't enjoy getting on stage and telling my story to thousands of strangers, talking about some of the most vulnerable parts of my life. But people, and not everyone can relate to my story, but they go, this guy's been through something tough, so have I. He's talking about it, maybe so should I, you know? And wherever we are, like, what I've found after talking to 875,000 teenagers in this country, there's a weird connection between, like, the arts and mental illness. For example, like this kid Dylan, you know, he had a, with the one arm, you know, an elbow and five fingers, learning to play guitar. It's like, don't hold those emotions inside, channel it. Whether it's a journal or a painting or a poem or a song, don't hold it inside, like, let it out. You know, the very place you think you're cursed might be your gift set. This girl just ran up to me at the airport. And she runs up, she goes, Rob, your music means so much to me because I was diagnosed with depression. I have suicidal thoughts. And I knew I only had a couple minutes. And I said, so you're like me. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, you hurt deeply, but you love deeply, don't you? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, you hurt deeply, but you can see when others are hurting, can't you? And she goes, yeah. I said, you have what I have, and it sucks sometimes, but you can help a lot of people with that. I said, isn't it interesting that you and I get diagnosed with depression, which is very real? Nobody gets diagnosed with empathy. And she goes, whoa. I'm like, so do you sing? Do you dance? Do you paint? She goes, I'm a dancer. How do you know? Again, there's these connections. Even when I deal with, talk about addictions in the show, it's like addicts. Like, I'm an addict. When I don't, like, I thought I was cursed because I could watch my friends party on the weekend and they could shut it off and go back to work or go back to school. I couldn't. I'm still going on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I thought that was a curse. That's also a gift. Whatever I do, I'm all in. When I got a hold of a guitar and I started a band, I was all in. I was dedicated. I wasn't going to quit. And guess what? When I got a hold of drugs, I was all in. I was dedicated. I wasn't going to quit. And that's not a curse. That's a gift. If you point at the right thing, you'll excel at whatever you want. You point at the wrong thing, it'll destroy your life. And during COVID, like, we couldn't do our shows, and so many communities were reaching out saying, man, this has been really tough on our young people. And there was a film crew that actually did a documentary on my life. And they followed up with six of the kids that gave us suicide notes. Where are they now? Including that kid, Dylan, that I just told you about from Wollaston. And you can watch that documentary. It's on YouTube. We talked with all the big wigs and all everywhere else, but we know some people have Netflix, some have Crave, some have Prime. We put it on YouTube. If you look it up, it's look up the Rob Nash documentary, and you'll hear some incredible stories from the kids we've met around this country.
Rob, I'm wondering, in the years that you've done this, have you noticed a change or a shift in attitudes toward mental health, not only with youth, but in general, and a kind of a change in the accessibility of resources that people have?
Yeah, there's a more openness, for sure. you know, even when I was going through it, like nobody was talking about mental health, you know, and it's definitely more open. There's more resources. People aren't sure where to get the resources. That's a tough thing. But the biggest change in general, if you're saying from when I started to now, is it's getting younger and younger. You know, when we started this tour with the grade 11s and 12s, we're going through and dabbling in. It's now what the grade 8s are doing. What the grade 8s are doing is grade 5s. And we put a lot of our focus on a lot of the younger kids. And it's just like, we have a great, like, we put on our shows. We don't charge a dollar. We bus in all the kids. We'll pay for the school buses if they need it through my charity. And we bring them all in and we tell stories and we have a good time and we show successful stories and significant stories, right, of people and showing, like, man, I want to be like that girl. Maybe I have purpose. Maybe I belong. But when we started again, we were gearing towards those older high schools. Now we're trying to get to them younger and younger. And yes, I can tell you here in Saskatchewan, an 11-year-old not long ago, in other provinces, an 8 and a 7-year-old. Like, you should be playing with Lego at that age. But kids just need to see vulnerability and that it's okay to talk about it, you know. And I'm really, you know, I try to be in the corners of teachers, you know, like, because they're overwhelmed with a lot of this stuff. You get taught to teach math and suddenly you're a life coach and you're a mentor. And some of the most secure spots for a kid is school. It's not even home. So we work together with schools. We'll even help with post support if they need it. But our big thing is just getting kids to open up. And the big thing, like, sometimes you'll go to a psychologist for years just to verbalize what's something that you're struggling with. And we find it happening after doing a show. And we actually took that documentary that's on YouTube, and we, with a team of, like, teachers and social workers, counselors, and psychologists, we broke that into, like, a school curriculum where kids watch videos and they journal about what they learn from each of the stories, and then they journal about their own story, and it'll, getting that out, even if it's dark, get it out, you know, so it's not sitting alone in your head like it did in mine, mm-hmm. You know?
Remarkable. Rob, if people want to know more about you, the Rob Nash Project, where can they connect with you?
Yeah, if you go to robnash.ca, you can look at our website. The documentary is right there as well, just robnash.ca. You can look up stuff on YouTube. You can watch music videos, obviously Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. But we're planning to do some more stuff in Saskatchewan, and we'd love to bring a bunch of schools together and see some more breakthroughs right here.
Right on. Rob, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.